Hi, everybody. Welcome to Stutter Talk. During the second half of today's show, we discuss speech-language pathologists who stutter, graduate students who stutter, and the challenges they face. This will be the second show in the current Stutter Talk series on clinicians who stutter.
Stutter Talk. We're here with Roisin, Karen,
hey,
and Joel.
Hey, everybody.
The B team. And we're back for our March episode, and spring is in the air, at least in New York City it is.
There's snow here.
It's like so springy here. It's amazing.
Jealous.
That's great. You can call us at 206-666-5340, and we'd love to hear from the listeners. And this month, actually, the B team is starting a new sort of segment where we're going to ask for listener feedback or experiences, and we're hoping to do a show on stuttering in the workplace. So we'd love to hear from listeners about tough situations at work, or positive situations at work, or any kind of situation involving stuttering and work. So please feel free to email us. And with that, we're gonna. Well, Joel, you can bring in the song, because it's your song.
Sure. A couple episodes ago, I'd mentioned, actually, it was right around the time when right at the beginning of when we started doing B-Team episodes, I talked about how I'd written a song about stuttering. It was the first time that I had written a song about stuttering. I never even really considered it, I could guess. But the more I thought about it, the more I became open to it. And this last time I was in New York in last August, I just started kind of thinking about it some more, and some stuff kind of popped into my head. And anyway, so I started working on it with the guys in my band, and then we finally got into a recording studio in December and recorded it, and it's finally completely done. So I just wanted to play it on Stutter Talk, because I'm proud of it, and I'm happy with how it turned out. And I think it's a good song, and it's kind of been somewhat of a catharsis for me to record it, and then also we've played it a handful of times as well. So anyway, here it is. It's called I'll Get By, and it's by my band Ghost Towns of the West.
I was painting a blue-gray cloud, and it's following me. I know there's something wrong with me. It's not hard for little boys to believe. I was watching it on a movie screen. I close my eyes until the end of the scene. Living in this darkness and this fear. Dear God, when can I get out of? We'll be right back. so I fly to New York to get fixed. Maybe I can learn to be different. But maybe there was nothing wrong with me. Maybe this is how I'm supposed to be.
You're amazing. I love you.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys like it and stuff.
I mean, I've known you're in a band, but this is the first time I've ever heard your voice. You're like really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I've never like, you know, thought of myself as a good singer or anything like that, but I kind of like credit stuttering to the reason why I kind of like started being more open to singing. I just kept doing it, and eventually I feel like I've gotten a place where, you know, I feel like I never feel like oh crap, people are gonna think I'm terrible, you know. I always feel like okay about performing songs.
I think it's
like
really
that.
Cool that you got into singing because of stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. That's really neat.
Well, I don't know if it was, you know, how much of a role it played in it, but I know that, you know, I know there's a lot. I bet there's probably a higher percentage of people who stutter that are musicians than just random population. I bet. That's a guess. Because
interesting.
Well, it's cool to be able to, you know, to be able to get on stage in like a high pressure situation and not even have to worry about the possibility of stuttering. You know, I think that's, it's kind of an escape.
Yeah. So do you ever like when you get on a stage and you're about to start singing, do you ever like get the feeling of tension that you would have speaking?
It's never once like even cross my mind, even in like the darkest hours of my stuttering, like 4 or 5 years ago. It's just like, it's never ever even thought about it. I will say there was this one really weird thing happened to me one time at practice. I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the show or not, but I was trying to teach a song I'd been working on to my friend, or the guitarist in our band, Dan, and I was singing out the chords as I played them. So I was like, C, A, you know, and I started stuttering when I was like singing it. I think it was like my brain was like confused about if I was communicating or singing or what was going on. So it's like,
that really
then
is.
Stuttering like turned into it somehow.
Huh.
I've always thought about that though.
That's
like
so interesting.
There's something to that, like the act of communication is, you know, what is somewhat wrapped up in this whole stuttering that thing, you know.
So I wonder if you were in a situation where, like, you were saying to one person and just, like, staring that them in the eye,
mm-hmm.
if it would be harder to sing.
Yeah. You're right, because you're always, like, closing your eyes or in your own little world. There's probably... It's probably more complicated than just the fact that you're singing, maybe. I don't know, but it's always been one of those things about... Another fascinating thing about stuttering that the majority of us don't stutter when we sing.
Mm-hmm. So when you're on stage, Joel, is it safe to say that the audience probably doesn't know that you stutter?
No, definitely not, because I, for whatever reason, am the person that talks in between songs. So,
oh, and they'll stutter then?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's funny.
Nobody knows. I don't understand why. Like, the other guys, just like, well, we got a new drummer about like 4 months ago, and he likes to talk a little bit, but the other guys just like don't. So I'm always the person that's doing all the talking, and I'm usually stuttering quite a bit. What's also nice about this song is it gives me a really appropriate time to self-advertise.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of like adds a little bit more weight to the song.
Yeah,
where people
sure.
are like, oh, yeah, I was wondering what the hell was going on up there with that guy. You know, that makes sense. Now, then they'll probably so like the cool. song more, because it's more of like a, you know, connecting with the audience, you know.
I'd love to hear what the audience thinks, like, wow, he's stuttering when he talks, but when he sings, he can sing without stuttering. I'd love to hear, like, what's going on in their minds when they hear that.
Oh, it's interesting. I kind of got a little bit of a sneak peek one time. This was, like, maybe 6 months ago. I'm sure a lot of people think it's cool, but this guy came up to me after our show, and he was friends with the drummer in a band we play with sometimes, and he's like, hey man, I really liked your guys's set, and this was before I had written the song about stuttering, and he's like, yeah, I was wearing a stuttering shirt too,
you're awesome.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, my friend was telling me, he's like, you gotta hear this guy, like, he's when he's talking in between songs, he's just like stutters so much, it's crazy. And then I like heard that, it like hurt my feelings a little bit, but like not a lot, you know. And then but it, you know, sometimes I don't even think about it too much, but then I'm like, oh yeah, you know, people must, you know, notice it and think things. But I usually, even before that, I would bring it up once per show. But it's just in some kind of an offhand way. But because this song makes it a ton easier. And a lot of the times at shows, people already know me anyway, you know.
Yeah. It's cool because you couldn't, like, advertise and say, hi, stutter. It's always been a struggle for me, but I've, like, kind of accepted it as a part of myself. You just said, like, I stutter. So it's cool that the song, like, says all of that also.
Yeah.
I, like, explains the whole backstory.
I know. It is. It's a cool strategy.
Yeah. It
is. I also love that the song, I mean, is obviously about stuttering, but depending, like, what kind of thing you're struggling with, I feel it never actually says anywhere in the song it's about stuttering.
Yeah.
I feel like it could be interpreted so many different ways for whoever's listening to it, which I think is really neat.
Yeah, it's true.
And I guess it's just for me, it's another way to make it stuttering more normal and less weird and strange. Like, even the producer we were working with on this EP we're putting out, we actually haven't put it out yet.
What does that mean, EP?
Oh, EP is short for extended play. And basically when bands make releases, it's either an LP, which I think means long play, an EP, or a single. And a single usually has one to, like, three songs on it. And these are all loose guidelines. There's not like a hard, fast rule. And then EPs usually have like 4 to 7 songs on them. And then an LP is usually like 10 or 12 songs. That's like your typical album. But EPs are really popular right now because, you know, it's just easier to put out less music because it costs less to record. But I wanted to make sure I finished my thought. Is like, even the producer we were working with, and it was a guy that like I really like a lot, and he's been in like a ton of bands around Minneapolis and has produced people like The Replacements and the Jayhawks and Golden Smog and stuff. And I was like, I just think he's really cool. And I don't think I really talked too much about stuttering. I would a little bit just to make sure he knew it wasn't like off limits to talk about. But then like when we worked on that song, it was nice because it was kind of like me, you know, I was talking about stuttering through the song and he's like, man, that song's really cool. He's like, that's really heavy, you know, but it is just like, so I almost feel like it's been a cool way to like express how I feel about stuttering without having, you know, an upfront conversation about it too, you know?
Yeah. I'd love to know, Joel, what the other people in your band thought, like when you said you were doing a song about stuttering and they're obviously performing it too, even though like they don't have a real connection to stuttering like you do.
Well, these guys I've known forever. Like, we went to high school with them and stuff. And so they've kind of been through the whole journey with me, I guess. And when I opened up and started talking about it, you know, they were some of the first guys I was talking about stuttering with and things like that. So I guess we're the type of band where it's like there's not like one person that's writing the songs. Like, I'll write a song and then someone else will write one. And then, you know, everyone's kind of, you know, always contributing and always writing songs and stuff. And so anytime there's like something personal and honest that someone wants to do a song about, everyone's like, that's what we're into, you know, like not like songs that, you know, where people are not being honest or, you know, trying to act like there's something else than they are, you know,
that's really neat.
Yeah. So that's like, everybody was like, right when I first started talking about it, and everybody was pretty into it. So that was cool too.
So for the listeners that want to hear your song, like again and again and again,
yeah,
how would they go about doing that?
We decided, we're like, you know, we should just put it up, this one for free. So this is like the free song. So if you, you can go to chaseblissrecords.com and we'll link to it and click on the news section. And then it's just there for a free download, but actually we'll just put the link right on the, on our episode here. So everybody can get it for free if they want.
And then when is your band's EP coming out?
We're, I'm so excited. We're, putting it out on March 26th at like my favorite place in the Minneapolis to play.
That's like, really soon.
I know. And it's like when we first started playing, and it's still like not a big deal or anything, but this is just like a really nice place to play. And like, got to know the guy that does booking there, and we've played there twice and it have done pretty well. And, so then he was open to have us, you know, to do this release show there. So it's like, I remember, I think about like stuff like 2-3 years ago, I would never think we would be able to play at this place. So
that's
I'm excited.
Great.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for letting me, play it on here and stuff. Cause it's definitely ever since was writing it and working on it, I was like, I really wanted to have it on Stutter Talk. So
yeah, I'm glad that we did. It's like really, really great.
Cool. Thanks guys. All right. Should we take a break? And then I had a topic I wanted to talk about, and then we'll go from there.
Sure, sounds good.
Cool.
When you get your pilot's license, you're gonna fly so high up in the sky. And when you get your pilot's license, you're gonna die. Oh no, but you'll be alive again.
All right, everybody, we're back with Stutter Talk. And I wanted to bring up this topic that I've been thinking about a little bit. I was over at a friend's house, and there was a new person over there. It's always interesting for us stuttering folk when there's a new person in the room. So I always have that little tinge of, oh, crap, I'm going to stutter. But, you know, I just try to counteract that immediately and go introduce myself. So I was like, hi, my name's Joel. Can't remember if it was real or voluntary stuttering. And then he just kind of looked at me weird, and he's like, hi, my name's Tim. And I looked at him, and then I was like, okay. I'm like, I stutter. And then he felt really bad, of course, and was like, oh, sorry. I'm like, no, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, it kind of throws people off sometimes, and people are not really sure how to react. And so then, you know, the conversation just continued, and it was funny because just last night I was talking to this friend of mine, and we had gotten to talk about stuttering because he had just seen the King's Speech, and he's a really introspective dude and stuff like that. And he asked me, he's like, one thing I bet is kind of cool about stuttering is that you get the look at people's personalities when, not necessarily their personalities, but you get a sneak peek at their character when they first realize that you stutter. And he cited this friend, this guy, Tim, who, you know, kind of did the weird, inappropriate thing. But I actually told him I completely disagree. When, although that sort of thing is really frustrating, and it kind of pissed me off, and there's that part of me that is like, man, screw you, Tim. Like, what the heck? But I found that you just, like, it, you can't judge somebody on the fact that they've never had exposure to stuttering or are ignorant to stuttering, because you could be wrong, like where I've been wrong, where someone's actually been cool, where the first, I guess the first impression that I've had has been a negative one because of their weird reaction to stuttering. And I was wondering if you guys share the same opinion that it's really hard or impossible to have that impression of someone, or if you had the same idea as my friend Barney, who thought that his name actually is Barney.
Wait, his name isn't Tim?
No, Tim is the guy that laughed at me.
Oh, I thought to
Barnabas. Well, his name? No. Well, actually, I did change that guy's name, but I know Barnabas wouldn't care if I said
Barnabas.
Oh, but he's called Barney for short. His name's Barney for short.
That's the coolest name.
That's a great name. He's a great guy. He's an awesome guy. And or if you guys had that opinion where you think it's kind of a useful tool, or I've heard before a social filter. What do you guys think?
I agree a lot with Tim.
With Tim or
the Barnabas?
I thought Tim was the one that said that unless you see someone's true character.
No, Tim was the guy that mimicked me, and Barney was the guy that you're agreeing with right now.
Oh, I thought after Tim mimicked you, then he said that.
Oh, no,
I
didn't.
I misunderstood. Okay.
No, Tim just felt awkward the whole time, and we never really talked.
Oh.
Okay.
I agree with Barnabas.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think not only is when they first hear your stuttering as an insight, but I also think how they deal with it after that.
Okay.
I think sometimes when if someone were to mock me, I probably make a snap judgment of that person and automatically like them less. And I think if someone automatically doesn't seem to care that I stutter, I automatically like them more.
But have you ever been wrong?
Yes, and I think someone can redeem themselves. Like I was out to dinner the other day, and the waitress mocked me, and I like said to my friend like, "Oh, I do not like her." And then I went to the bathroom during the meal, and she stopped me and was like, "I'm just so sorry. It was really inappropriate for me to laugh, and I just didn't know." And she felt really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved her. But I mean, so I guess you can be wrong, but I don't know. I just feel if someone's gonna laugh or make fun of you, like they can't be as such a compassionate person as someone who just wouldn't think to do that.
Dang, you're kind of changing my mind a little bit.
I usually think that if someone does that, then they're probably not a really like thoughtful person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that doesn't necessarily mean they're like a. I mean, like I have a lot of friends who I love, and they're not really thoughtful. Like some people just don't have that skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean they're bad people, or they're not like cool, or you can't be their friend.
But I guess
sent up some sort of flag.
Well, I don't know. I think for me, I need people around me that are compassionate.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a characteristic in people that I'm drawn to.
I wonder with this instance, though, if... Honestly, I think it might have been in insecurity on Tim's part, because I don't think people are used to someone who stutters just walking up and saying, "Hi, my name is Joel." It's just weird. It's just kind of weird because you're used to, you know, and then like maintaining eye contact and being okay and confident about it. And I think maybe he just thought I was putting him on and was like, felt some insecurity and was like, "Well, you know, I'm not going to let this guy just joke with," or not even that evolved of a thought. But
right.
More of just, well, this guy's just going to come up and joke with me. You know, I'll throw a little back at him when actually I was being myself.
But if he did think that it was originally a joke, which like he did, and then he sincerely felt badly about it, then you thought, I mean, I would think he would have said something to you like later in the night or even just right then.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't know. See, I was only there for like an hour because I was just over there to eat to dinner with these guys, and I can't remember. I had to go do something else. So they were going to like this art show, and I would bet that he would have said something. He seemed like a decent guy actually afterwards. But
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you might not be able to tell the entire character of a person from that one instance, but I think it definitely tells you a little bit about the person with how they handle it and how they handle it after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like at like our age, if a person hasn't like come across, it's not even just stuttering, it's just like not assuming that like you know everything about a person, so like you just don't make certain jokes because you're not really sure what's happening. Like at this age, like when you're in high school, middle school, people don't really, they haven't really had enough like experiences to have that kind of like reinforced that like you just shouldn't really like mock other people, especially when you first meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, had these people not had experiences that like scared them out of doing this before? Like, I don't...
Yeah.
So true.
Well, but you guys are open to the idea, though, that, like you said, Karen, that you can anybody can redeem themselves, right? I mean, they're not stuck in your stuttering doghouse forever, right?
yeah. No, definitely.
Well, cool.
Yeah, I think they can redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it does make me think a little bit less the person that they would just laugh at someone without, like, because something was different about them, that they think that's a reason to sort of make fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's not a quality that I really like in others.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Oh, go ahead, Roisin.
I was just going to say that I've even had experiences with people where, like, I have told them about stuttering and like, still got some sort of, like, negative feedback.
Well, that's just awful. Yeah.
But like, even when that happens, I still feel like the person can redeem themselves. Like I still feel like it's not like this. Maybe because, like, I like should be a little more of an advocate for myself. But I still, like, have this thought that if I, like, brought it up with them again, and if I do that, like, it can be, like, sort of, like, forgiven.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a much more forgiving person than me. You only get so many strikes with me.
Well, there's probably a lot of people that there's something going through their head regarding stuttering, but they at least have the inhibition not to show it.
Right.
Which is all I ask for.
Just shut your mouth and don't say what you're thinking.
Yeah. But, of course, you know, we all know that we're very skilled at thinking we know what other people are thinking negatively about our stuttering, right? That's
very true.
Yeah. I'm the king at that. Well, should we take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more?
Sure.
Cool.
So the last conversation that we were just having sort of got me thinking about an experience that I had not that long ago. And the gist of the story was that I was working with a professor at my school. And then after I was working with her, someone had overheard her saying sort of some negative things about me and my speech.
Wow.
And that basically that people who stutter shouldn't be in this field, and that she just wasn't so happy with me and my speech. And it's sort of this conversation we just had about making a judgment about someone and then sort of re-advertising to them or re-talking to them can maybe redeem them. And mm-hmm. I feel like with someone like this who has such a strong opinion about people who stutter and people who stutter in the field of speech pathology, I don't know what she could do to redeem herself because she's kind of on my list.
Yeah.
But also, I don't even know if there's anything I could do or say to this person to get them to sort of change their views.
Well, I think when you're older or an older professional, professor or whatever, you've kind of you've formed opinions that I think are probably harder to change than if you were younger. I mean, they're still mm-hmm. definitely changeable. I mean, this person's view sounds ignorant to me. Like, she just doesn't know stuttering or doesn't know successful people who stutter and things like that.
Which is particularly crazy because there's other professors in our department that's stutter that she's colleagues with.
Really?
So she's just crazy.
Have you had like personal interaction with her before?
Yeah, she doesn't really like me so much.
Was there anything?
You give her a facial expression, Karen.
does she? Oh yeah, inside joke, or not so inside? I think we talked about your disapproving facial gestures before. So do you think it's related to anything else, or she just doesn't like the fact that you can't talk perfect?
First, I didn't even consider that it was related to my speech, and I just assumed it was something that I was doing or how I was interacting with the Kovalians, and I was like trying to go through like everything that I had done and trying to think about like what made her unhappy with me. And then after she sort of got caught talking about me, sort of made me rethink all of her interactions. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think more that part of the reason she was so hard on me is that she just doesn't think that I belong here.
God, that sucks to think that.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, think that? There's so many just vital people who stutter who are leaders in the field, like Barry Guitar and Bob Kweisel and Walt Manning. I mean, you really have to like be stupid to think
it actually makes me ill that like someone who is like has a professor role in a top school and is teaching future speech language pathologists can feel this way. Mm-hmm. It's gross.
Yeah. So she does she specialize in stuttering?
No. Hmm. Apparently she doesn't know anything about it.
Because, like, she might just feel, like, threatened that, like, people who stutter come into the field and they're, like, kind of automatically experts. it probably threatens people who, like, are working at, like, becoming an expert. Not that we actually are experts. I'm not even in the field. But like, that, you know, like, probably threatens.
Well, I mean, you're not in the field and you know more about stuttering than her.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, she also, one of the times I was interacting with her and a client, I introduced myself to the client and I didn't stutter on my name. And the first time that I actually stuttered in front of the client, I advertised and told them that I stutter and that if you ever don't understand anything that I say during this session, just feel free to ask me to repeat myself. Mm-hmm. And like one of the comments she had after this session was that I didn't advertise soon enough and that it should have been the first thing that I said.
Hmm. That's really disrespectful.
So, like, first of all, it wouldn't have made any sense for me to walk into the room and say that, like, the very first thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's also, like, her, like, insinuating that, like, you can't speak effectively, so you, like immediately have to, like, put this disclaimer on the way.
I think it would have been weird for the client, considering I'm there for them. And I also think it's just she has no right to tell me, number one, to ever advertise or when I should.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
We have to be, like, tough to, like, go through life. Because this is, like, something that, like, we can argue about politically, but, like, that's really hurtful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's such a dicey area, you know, because there probably is an argument that for someone to say that it's reasonably logical that you, as a clinician who stutters, you should self-advertise as soon as possible. So, you know, if I didn't know other things that I'm learning about this person, I might say, okay, that's, you know, that's reasonable advice. There's logic behind it, but then
no, I don't even agree with that, though.
You don't?
I think it's, I mean,
you don't think there's a reasonable logical basis of thinking to support that as something you'd want to do?
It is something that I want to do and I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's someone who doesn't want to do that, I don't think that that should be a requirement.
Really?
No.
To average tatties? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree that it's, like, the most effective thing for someone to do in that situation, but, like it's totally their choice.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think if you're a profession or a professional and you're trying to be a speech pathologist and you happen to stutter, like, you have to be... I'm trying to think of the right words without sounding like a complete moron. Like, you can't just ignore the fact that you stutter.
I saw a psychiatrist a few years back,
mm-hmm.
and she had a lisp.
Okay.
She never said anything to me.
that's a decent analogy.
I didn't expect her to. I mean, I still understood what she was saying.
Okay, what if you didn't understand what she was saying?
I would ask her to say it again.
This is interesting.
Just if someone didn't understand what I'm saying, it's completely appropriate for them to ask me to say it again.
Yeah. I was walking through the tall green grass, down an old dirt road, dying way too fast. Sooner or later, we're all gonna go. But just don't talk to me like I don't know, 'cause I'm known.
I mean, I think that, I've actually had a lot of people, give me feedback saying, you really didn't have to advertise the there.
Yeah.
But, them saying, that really wasn't, you don't have to, explain to me, why you're speaking the way you are, and they don't, understand why I do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, the other, but I agree with Joel that definitely, there's a certain amount of responsibility in terms of mimicking the client, if the client's the betters, especially.
Well, I think
bringing it up.
I think that the supervisor's job, the clinical supervisor's job, is to give you feedback on your performance, and I don't think that that's an entirely unreasonable feedback.
I might agree with you in some situation. I think in this situation it didn't make any sense because
okay.
I did advertise.
And I believe you. Part of it is I'm trying to play the devil's advocate.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure if I'm on the same page as you as that being a quality feedback.
Okay. No, I didn't. I feel like I kind of there's some other things you wanted to say on this, and I wanted to I wanted to argue with you so bad that I kind of cut you off. Okay. So where were we?
No idea.
I have a cool question. Do you think that you could talk to her to resolve this, or do you feel like this is so beyond your level of tolerance where it's not even worth it?
I have no interest in ever having conversation with her, but I didn't hear it from her that she had a problem with my speech.
Mm-hmm. Heard it secondhand.
Even if I did sit down with her, I'm not sure what I could do or say to sort of get her to change her views.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't even know how helpful a conversation would be. Mm-hmm. I know it would make me mad. Just being with her makes me mad.
Yeah.
Well, it would be interesting. Or if I were you, it'd be interesting to hear to make her explain why she thinks that you shouldn't be in the program because you stutter.
I don't think I don't think she would ever say that to my face. Because, she never said that to my face. Mm-hmm. She only picked on things that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like, could I don't really know how you were told about this, and that would, like, totally determine the appropriateness of, like, approaching her.
The only way for me to tell her that I know is throwing the other person that told me under the bus, which I do.
Yeah.
Since I respect that.
That's a hard situation. I would just be such a to her. It'd be so bad. Because you couldn't, like, directly say something, you know, which is, like, the healthiest thing.
Yeah, you're right. You kind of got jacked, as they say. And particularly
since she's, like, above me.
Yeah.
Like, she has even control over some stuff.
When the person was attacking you or nitpicking stuff you did, was it specifically in regards to your stuttering, or was it, like, other clinical stuff that they thought you needed to get better at?
Just, like, a lot of other clinical stuff that, I mean, all my other supervisors, like, when I asked them if they thought that was an area I needed to work on, were like, "And what? No."
Okay.
First I took the feedback to heart because I thought that these are areas that I needed to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had never been told that these are areas I needed to work on in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I learned more about the situation, like, I kind of feel like she was just picking on me.
Yeah.
It's, like, really makes me really angry.
You know, when I think about, if ever I think about you, Karen, and your, doing things in practicum or, you know, externships or whatever they're called, I never imagine that stuttering or, like, people giving you a hard time about stuttering. But I guess it's just, like, it's always surprising to me that, like, this stuff really does happen. Like, we get looked at a little differently sometimes.
Yeah.
In such an inappropriate way.
Because, I would never, Karen, like, because the way that you speak, like, you're a very effective communicator, and, like, it's not hard to hear you speak at all.
Mm-hmm. And even when
you
stutter. It's not like, it's just like, it's like we've talked about before, it's just not a barrier for communication in any sense.
Right.
Aww, and you guys are the best.
So, like, you never avoid such words, as far as I can tell, or, like, really, like, it doesn't appear. It's like, I don't, as a listener, like, I don't feel your struggle.
Oh, and that's, like, so nice to hear.
But so, like Joel said, it's really surprising to me that this woman would, like, actually have reservations about it, because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a very strong personality that, I guess she just, I don't know, she doesn't like me. Whatever.
But that's one of your strengths, I think, too. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it's good for people sometimes. I mean, not always. You need to have an open mind to the possibility of other opinions and ways of doing things. But I think that having a strong personality and sticking to your guns is going to serve you really well.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently some people don't.
Wow, this first conversation has been really fun, guys. I just feel great.
Really affirming, conversation. But I also feel like people get, when people who stutter seem, like, confident and, like, not willing to change because of how other people view them, I think that to a lot of people that's really threatening. Mm-hmm. And it makes some people react in a way where they're like, well, like, you should, like, work on this. It's like you, and it, it, like, makes people, like, for some people, it makes them more comfortable. Like, oh, you're confident, you're cool. That's so I am too. But I think for other people, it just really threatening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, she might just be one of those people.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that, but I think you're right, Roisin. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, this has been a eclectic episode. We had stuttering music, and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Man, this show.
Again, we want to urge anybody who wants to write in about anything, but as Roisin said earlier, one thing we'd like to talk about in an upcoming episode is stuttering in the workplace. So we would really appreciate it if anybody writes in with comments or questions, and even if you want to post anything on that Facebook discussion board. I seem to check that once every couple of days, and I wrote back to Ari a couple of days ago too, because he's always got really good comments on there.
Or if you guys ever have ideas of what you'd like to hear us talk about, those would be awesome too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Karen, do you got the phone number?
206-666-5340.
All right. See you guys next month.
All right. Bye.